You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Thank you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. Are you glad to be in God's house? Are you glad to be in God's house tonight? Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord for His presence and the opportunity to come to the house of the Lord. Amen. It's always good to be in God's house. And thank you for being faithful to the house of the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, tonight to Proverbs chapter 6. I want to speak to you about what are you busy doing? What are you busy doing tonight? Amen. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24 says, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ant, as a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." In the summer. What are you busy doing? What are you busy doing? Amen. When it comes to ants, most times we're trying to get rid of them. If anyone has an issue with ants, they usually go off to Canadian Tire or Home Hardware or Kent's, and they get some ant away or ant out or whatever it is, and they spray it around all the spots, around maybe the foundation of their house. You're trying to actually get rid of them. No one says, "There's an ant, let's pick them up and let them go outside." And if you do, you are not the norm. Harvester ant colonies can have as many as 40 to 50,000 ants in one colony. Ants communicate using scent, sound, touch, and sight. They gather in groups and use teamwork to connect tunnels. An ant can carry up to 50 times their own weight. If humans could do this, a 100-pound person would lift 2.5 tons. Now we know that that's not normal, and that can't be done by a human, but an ant can carry up to 50 times their weight. Ants secrete pheromones to create a navigation trail for finding and getting food. It's kind of like Hansel and Gretel with their little breadcrumbs. Army ants live in colonies with populations of several hundred thousand ants. And when on the march, they swarm and attack everything in their path. Animals, not able to quickly get away, they become breakfast or lunch. And the Bible tells us, interestingly, Solomon, we're going to read multiple verses tonight, but Solomon compiled the book on wise saying known as Proverbs, Probabilities. And one of his favorite teaching techniques was contrast, where he tells us what it would be like by showing us a person who acts the opposite. For example, he tells us that we should be wise by talking not like a fool. And how they act. And you'll see it more than one place in Proverbs where creatures in the animal kingdom act with more sense sometimes than even human beings. Now that's kind of scary. That's the way it is with the ant. The opposite of this industrious creature, if you want to say, is what is known as the sluggard or the slothful person. The tragic of the difference between how busy an ant is and how not so busy a sluggard or a slothful person is. There's an animal that is quite the opposite of the ant. It's called the two-toed sloth. He sleeps from 15 to 18 hours a day. One of the slowest moving mammals in the world. He hangs upside down most of his life and actually moves so slow that green algae grows on his fur. He licks it for nutrition rather than going and looking for food. Not really that exciting attraction at a zoo. I mean, it takes forever for them to move. The sloth is nothing compared to the ant. And Solomon gives us these interesting facts and scriptures concerning the difference between these two creatures. Fundamentally, a slothful person is a leaner instead of a lifter, leans on instead of lifting up, is a person that's not active in the sense of finding out or trying to do anything to improve themselves. So first of all, tonight we'll talk about the sluggard, and the personification of the sluggard is known as laziness. The sluggard loves to procrastinate. Now you say, well, we didn't come for a zoology lesson, Pastor. Well, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. The sluggard is known for procrastination. Look what Solomon writes in Proverbs 6. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. He's talking about, like, how long is it going to be before you actually decide to do something? The sluggard's motto is, I'll do that later. You ever have that happen to you? I'm not calling you a slugger tonight, but have you ever had that happen? You say, you know what? I'll do that later. That happens with me when it comes to cleaning the garage. You know what? I'll wait for a rainy day. I'll wait for not too hot of a day. I'll wait for a day when I don't have something else planned. There's always another time. Opportunity slips away. That's the mentality of a sluggard. Solomon writes in chapter 26, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Proverbs 18. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Now this is scriptures that he's talking about. Procrastinating. And how that mentality is, you know what, I'll get to it another time. The sluggard does not finish things that he starts. Don't raise your hand if you know someone like that, especially if it's the person beside you. The sluggard does not finish things that he starts. No, I'm just going to stay on my notes. Proverbs 19 says, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Just think about that for a second. Hides his hand in his bosom, will not bring it to his mouth. Proverbs chapter 12. A slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. So he makes the effort to go out and find something to eat, but he isn't willing to take the time to cook it. Now think about that for a second. You got a real craving for a real hamburger. You ever have that happen? Now I know there's lots of hamburgers out there, and everyone's trying to compete with what's the best, and they're trying to come up with ones that really look like real hamburger, taste like real hamburger. Let me tell you right now, there's no such thing as a hamburger that's made out of vegetables. Okay, that's just ludicrous. Okay? But I don't know about you, but there's once in a while I get a craving for a real hamburger, a real juicy hamburger. And you go off and you get some fresh hamburger meat. It's going to keep the size of the burger you actually make. And you come home and you get ready, the barbecue ready, and you get it on there, and you just, I mean, don't press the juice out. Just let it be. Yeah. Well, think about the slugger. The slugger gets that craving, goes and gets the hamburger meat, and then says, you know what? Couldn't be bothered getting the barbecue out for just two hamburgers. That's the mentality. Won't start, won't finish what they start. Number three, the sluggard is full of excuses. The sluggard will not plow, Proverbs 20, by reason of the cold. It's too cold out. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Too hot out, too cold, too wet, too dry. I'm too tired. Proverbs 22 says, the slothful man says, there is a lion without, and I shall be slain in the streets. I'm not going to take the risk of getting hurt, a sunburn, whatever the case is. The sluggard makes everyone else's task more difficult. Proverbs 10 says, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The way of a slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Proverbs 26, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. I mean, Solomon isn't given a very good picture of a sluggard. Lastly, he says, the sluggard will ultimately be disappointed. Proverbs 13 says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Proverbs 21, the desire of the slothful killeth him, but or for his hands refuse to labor. So you see this idea of someone who just doesn't want to do it now, doesn't want to finish, doesn't want to, I mean, be diligent in what they're doing, wants to make tasks more difficult, just ends up in disappointment. And if you think that's only an Old Testament mentality, the New Testament talks about that type of person as well in Matthew 25. His Lord answered, said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Speaking about the slothfulness of someone who has been given talents and abilities by God, but just says, you know what? It's not worth the hassle. It's not worth, I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I've got too many other things to do. And the Bible is very clear that that we're not to be this type of person. It even says not to be slothful in business. Making sure that we're precise in everything we do, and making sure we're serving God to the best of our ability. Hebrews 6 says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So I asked you tonight, What are you busy doing? What are you busy doing? What is it that occupies your time? What is it that when you take an evaluation of what you're doing, what is it that fills up your day? You say, well, Pastor, we got work and family and all of those things, and we got to sleep, and every once in a while we eat. But you know, when we stop and think about it, there's all kinds of things that take up our day, take up our time. There's statistics out currently, current statistics, that there are individuals that spend 5 to 7 hours a day on social media. 5 to 7 hours a day. We have to be careful that we don't become sluggards in our day-to-day activities and life. Solomon writes about it. And if it was that way when he wrote about it, can you imagine how powerful those scriptures are in 2024? What are you and I busy doing? It's possible to be busy and yet slothful at the same time. We can be busy doing the wrong things. And you say, Pastor, we're the ones in church tonight. And you are right. And for that, I'm thankful. And so tonight you were putting priorities in place, and you made sure you came to the house of God, and you're not here to be beat up. And I'm not here to beat you up. But the idea is, I have to check myself at times, that you can get so busy that even doing things for God, that you don't have time for God. We can get so busy in the day-to-day activities of our life that God is kind of an afterthought. I'll just tell you what God was checking my spirit with today. The checking of my spirit today was, it's not just about making sure you get your Bible to reading, Brent. It's about making sure you get some study in my word. That's what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about, I don't need it to be that I put a little check mark by, I got my Bible reading for the day. God, have you been able to talk to me today? God, have you been able to speak into my life tonight? Have you been able to challenge me in my walk with you tonight, God? I want to make sure I'm busy doing the right things. Yeah. I could end up, if I'm not careful, being busy and slothful at the same time, where maybe my life becomes more difficult because of what I spend time doing, where I become disappointed with life because of what my focuses are on, where I push aside the things that are absolutely necessary in my life and do the things that are more pleasing to me. Okay, I'll give you another example. Yesterday, my wife said, we had to come into town around supper time. And she said, what do you think about us going and getting the boys and taking them out for an ice cream? And that's what we did. That's what we did. We went come in and picked them up, and we went to Dairy Queen for a baby cone of ice cream. They're all sitting there ready to eat their ice cream. And my wife says to me, did they eat supper yet? Who needs supper when you got ice cream? I mean, that's as good a supper as anything, isn't it? So I thought, you know what? Maybe I should get them a chicken finger or something. But they weren't interested in eating those first. There was ice cream. I couldn't care less if they ate them first. Parents can make them do that. I'm the grandparent. You have ice cream. I got ice cream. You can have ice cream. If you're full, then you don't. We'll do the nugget later. What happens is spirituality, and spiritually, if we're not careful, we can push things aside that are actually necessary and priority and say, you know what? I'll get to that later. I'm going to do what pleases me now. And what happens is we can get to be busy, yet be slothful. And so I'm asking you tonight, what is it that you're busy doing? This is what the scripture says. Luke chapter 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. Martha's complaining that Mary's not doing as much as she is, and Jesus is saying, she's got a hold of what really matters, and that's what she's doing. And folks, in 2024, life is busy. Technology was supposed to make our life easier. It's made us need to have more done. The expectation's higher than it's ever been of you accomplishing and doing more than you ever have. Yes, we can do all kinds of things and we can preach and it can go around the world in a few minutes. But what has happened with what the world has brought across as things that will be easier for us has filled our time. I don't need too many amens. I'm just going to preach what God's told me to do. We fill our time with things that occupy our time that may not be necessarily beneficial to our time. And then we find ourselves, if we're not careful, in challenging situations of life. And then we send ourselves to our knees and try to get God to change the aspects of our circumstances. But we've been busy. All the rest of the speakers that speak, they preach to you all kinds of nice things. Pastor comes in and says, you need to be like an ant. If the ant is the opposite of the sluggard, then there's obviously some spiritual lessons that the Word gives us from this little insect that God created that we all try to get rid of. But it's given us some lessons, amen, that allow us to see that there is something that we can learn about our busyness from the ant. Number one, the ant works in unity. They don't strive for positions of leadership. They're not needing to be pushed or prodded. They actually carry burdens for others. It's the opposite of the sluggard, where, you know what, I'll do that another day. I'm not worried about that right now. I don't have time to finish that. Not worried about difficulty and disappointment. And the ant says, you know what, we're going to do this together. No one's a big I and little you here. We're all doing this as a team. We're carrying the burdens for each other. There's no pushing and prodding needed with the ant. And the lesson that's learned from the ant is, you know what? Here's something that we all can do because we're all aiming in the same direction to get to the same location. And we're going to do this together. I don't know about you, but I've only got one goal in life, and that's to get to the other side. That's to make heaven my home. And in the meantime, I'm going to occupy to the best possible way that I can. But God, I'm going to where you're preparing a place for me, and I want to do that to the best of my ability with everyone else possible. The ant teaches us, every ant comes back to that anthill bringing something for the colony. Some of their treasures seem insignificant and small, but all of everything that is brought back is important to the colony. An anthill is like a corporation of a body that is dependent upon the contributions of each and every person involved. Every ant is important to contribute to the colony. What's that remind you of? That reminds you of this great body that we're part of called the church. That everybody has a part, amen, in contributing to the colony of the body of Christ. Don't allow yourself to be on the outside of that colony. Learn a lesson from the ant that you've got something to offer. However big or small it may be, you've got something to offer. Ants prepare for the future, gathering food in the good times so they can survive the bad times. Be honest with me now. Who in this place, maybe you got a lawn that there's an anthill growing, and you got no desire to go around it with the lawnmower, but rather a desire to go right over it. Oh, you guys are all activists for ants. No one in this place has ever gone over an anthill and not felt one bit bad about it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's so many two goody shoes here, yeah. Ah, come on. All the work that they did to put that together, and you take the lawnmower and go right over that, and there's dust flying everywhere. Every one of those little creatures has something to bring back to the colony. They're part of a church. Oh, no, not a spiritual church in the sense of an ant, but they have the same mentality of how Solomon has compared us to them. They're preparing in the good times so that they're ready for the tough times. The sluggard, he doesn't care less. Difficulty, I'll deal with the difficulty when it comes. I'll procrastinate until. And the ant says, oh, no, no. We're going to pray every day. We're going to make sure we're in God's presence every day. We're going to be in church every opportunity because you never know what's around the corner. We're going to prepare in the good times for the bad times. And Solomon, he brings it out that, yeah, it's time to gather while you have an opportunity. See, the ants never stop working. Even when an obstacle is put in their way, they immediately find a way around it. This is what the Bible talks about us as a group, as a colony, as a church. Ephesians 4, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Paul says, There is no little people in the church. We're all part of this body, fitly framed together. Every joint supplieth. Everybody's got a place. Listen, don't allow yourself to sit back and say, you know what? I've been around here for 40 years. It's time for me to relax. No, no, we need your wisdom. Well, you know, I'm only 20. When I get the wisdom and maturity, I'll do something. No, no, we need your energy. Well, you know, I'm going through this stage of life. I've got work and kids. And ever feel like that? You might have felt like that before you came to church tonight. Oh, my goodness. It's already Wednesday. Wonder who's preaching tonight. Wonder if pastor's actually going to be home. Yeah. Don't raise your hands if you had a thought about that. I know with a crowd this size, there's probably a few that thought. But you made yourself, no matter how you felt, no matter how your day was, no matter how your week's been going. Oh, no, it's Wednesday. We got to be in the house of the Lord. You know what? You're preparing in the good times for the bad times. You're making sure that you're adding to the colony. You're being part of the church. You're working. You're making sure you're supplying. You're making sure that you're bringing something back to the anthill. I'm going to come and help create an atmosphere. You never know what God's going to do in someone's life. You never know what important thing's going to happen in someone's life tonight that could be life-changing and transformational. That tonight could be the moment that they got busy working for God in the right way. Yeah. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, music come. Says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You know what he's saying? He's saying everybody is important. Members in particular. If you're not part of it, you're missed. If you're not involved, there's a piece missing. If you're not adding to, the colony could be better. It's a reminder that has to happen to us every so often, where we stop and we take inventory of our lives. Have you ever decluttered? Is there people who need to declutter? We just went through the process of moving my mother. I didn't realize you could have so much stuff. My mom had almost 200 teapots. What do you need 200 teapots? She was collecting them. 200 teapots. Just trying to keep them clean, dusted. My kids were younger. They would go over to stay with my parents. My mom, she'd get them up in the morning. She'd say, we're going to do something fun today. We're going to dust off the teapots. All 200 of them. I don't know if my mom will be watching tonight. But we were decluttering. She was downsizing. She had a massive yard sale. Now, I'll just tell you, just for information's sake. My mom sold $6,000 worth at a yard sale. How much junk do you have to sell $6,000 at a yard sale? That's a lot of decluttering. Her yard sale went on and on and on. Do you know what? Our spiritual lives sometimes get so cluttered. I catch myself sometimes coming into church and my mind is 1,000 miles away. And I've got to say, God, bring it. I'm in church. I'm in your presence. I don't want to think about tomorrow or next week. I want you to captivate me right now. I don't want the busyness of my life to be caught up in things that are of the sluggard. I want to be the ant that's preparing. Making sure my family is prepared for whatever could come around the corner. And making sure I'm diligent while I'm preparing in good times for the bad times. And making sure I'm working in unity with the family of God. Because we're all part of this great thing called the church. I'm asking you tonight, what are you busy doing? Can you just evaluate yourself right now? Would you just take a couple minutes? And just close your eyes before the Lord, right? And just you and God. Say, God, what is it that's in my life right now that I could do without? What is it right now, God, that's taking up my time, that's not getting me anywhere down the road? What is it, God, right now that I'm prioritizing that's unnecessary? What is it, God, that I could bring my focus back into things of you? And God, what is it, God, that I could just lay aside the weight that so easily beset me? And God, let my focus turn to the things of you, where I'm in preparation, God, for what you desire for my life, and where you want me to be, and how you want me to become, and how you want me to grow and mature in you. God, what is it, God, that I'm needing to be busy doing? It's all right. I know we get uncomfortable in quietness sometimes. Just take you and God right now. Just talk to him. That's no one else needs to talk to you about it. It's just him and you. Just listen to what he's saying into your spirit. He's impressing into your heart and saying, you know what? Why don't you just kind of evaluate this part of your life? Maybe an extra job is not what's needed. Maybe you just need to sell some stuff. Maybe it's not an extra night that you need to fill it with. Maybe it's the importance of spending some time with your family. Just let God talk to you. I'm not in no hurry right now. I'm just going to let God do it. Oh, God, I pray for every person in here right now. Every person, God, that's here right now. Just talk. They're talking to you, God, and you're talking into their spirit. You can talk to every one of us at the same time. God, your spirit is just kind of speaking into our heart. God, what is it that people are weighed down with? The heaviness. Kind of how my day started today. I was receiving texts and calls, everything on my way to church. My day was going to start real busy. It was heavy right from the beginning this morning. And I had to check my spirit and say, you know what, God, I need some time with you. I need some time with you. God, this is what will give me strength. I need time with you. Of all the things that are busy in life right now, and all the things, God, that are happening in my day, and all, I need you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm okay with God just talking. Hallelujah, I'm okay with that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just let him talk to you. It's okay. Oh, God, let your mighty power and let your mighty presence and spirit. We make statements like it, you know, just stop and smell the roses. And our lives have become so, so full. Would you stand to your feet right now? Maybe it's, I'm just going to find my rest in his presence right now. Hallelujah. Maybe there's some people that would just join me at this altar right now and just find your rest in him. The busyness of life and whatever it is. Hey, the busyness of life that just occupies our time continually. Hallelujah. God, I'm just going to find myself in you right now. I'm just going to find myself in you right now. I'm going to stop, God, and I'm going to allow your presence and your spirit, God, to reevaluate the things that are important in my life. I'm going to reevaluate. I'm not going to procrastinate the things that really matter. I'm not going to start something, God, and not finish it. I'm going to allow myself, God, to let your spirit and your presence to work in me right now, just to let me know, God, this is what's important. This is what matters. This is what will make a difference. This is what will last. This is what will get me, Lord, to the other side. This is what will help me grow. This is what will help me mature. God, this is what will help me become what you want me to become. Lord, this is what will allow my talents to be used, Lord, to the best of your ability in my life. God, this is, God, what you're desiring. Hallelujah, that I won't be slothful and I won't become a sluggard in my walk with you. That God, diligently, God, I give myself to you. And God, I'm in your presence tonight, God, to feel and to be restored and revived and renewed and refreshed in your presence. Hallelujah, Lord. The life and the busyness of an ant that's always preparing, God, for the betterment of the future of the church, the colony. Hallelujah, the ones around them, the lessons that we learn. I want to be busy doing the right thing. I know what the norm usually is in our services, church. I know what the norm is, but I'm not worried about the norm. I'm not worried about the norm. I'm worried about you receiving and being refreshed the way God wants you to be in his presence. Hallelujah. Why don't you just lift your hands now before him? Hallelujah. Why don't you just do that right now? Hallelujah. Without you realizing from time to time, you can become so weary and you can become so tired just with the mundane things of life that we miss the moments of being in his presence. Hallelujah. Music team, just lift your hands all across. Hallelujah. Everyone in this church right now, just let the power of his spirit refresh you in his presence. There's fullness of joy, and at his right hand there's pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let me lay aside the things that are not as important. And help me to pick up the things, God, that are important. Lord, don't let me fall into the trap of thinking, God, that I can get through, God, without you. I need you, Jesus. I need you. I need your word. I need your presence. I need the power of your spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.